Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week we are giving you a special preview of my new book, which is coming out November 16th, The Midwest Survival Guide. A bunch of you have pre-ordered it, and I can't thank you enough for that, Cheese Squeeze, but I want to read you a couple passages that I think will really translate, can't talk, jeepers, cripes, folks, save the brandy before 10 a.m. I think it'll translate well to the podcast. I think you'll enjoy these stories. And I'm not going to spend too much more of your time bugging. You'll want to get right to the meat of it. I will just say, if you're looking for any tickets to see us on tour, you can check out mandwalkman.com. Got the Mandwalk show coming up. Very excited about that. And, I do want to read this comment. I told you a few episodes past about how when I drive, I tend to chew gum like a serial killer, which means I chew through the whole pack of gum in a drive. And but I'm not alone, ladies and gents. Raven Brown says, I always chain chew gum when I'm traveling. I thought I was the only one. So happy I'm not alone. LOL. Raven, you and me driving into the sunset together, just chewing up a storm, chewing like our lives are on the line. Jeepers, cripes, okie dokes. And folks, if you want to follow along with us on social media, you can do that. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at CripesCast. And folks, as always, I want to thank the title sponsor of this CripesCast, Jolly Good Soda, the pride of Random Lake, Wisconsin. Best soda this side of the Mississippi and that side of the Mississippi, but you can only get it on this side of the Mississippi, folks. Unless, of course, you go to jollygoodsoda.com, then you can order it online. It'll go wherever you need it to go. But if you're in Wisconsin, just head out onto the grocery store and say, hey, you got that Jolly Good or no? And if they says or no, well, then you give that manager a nice polite talking to, you know, hey there, guy, how are you? I like your soda spread. It's real nice. Honest to Pete, you did a great job. But, you know, I think it could be a little better with some Jolly Good soda. And I'm speaking on behalf of my old fashioned. Need that sour power floater in there. So there you go. That's how you can talk to the manager if they don't got that Jolly Good. Otherwise, should be in the grocery stores. Okie dokes, folks. Let's get to it. Here's a couple excerpts. Now, I chose two that kind of give you different flavors of the book. There's one section that's a lot of personal stories. So I've got a bit on hockey that I want to do. I used to play hockey in the basement, a little tennis ball hockey when I was a kid, and it got weird per usual. So I got a story about that. Also, I have a story about hunting, it being hunting season. I think you'll enjoy this. Any of you hunters out there, any of you vegans, you'll also enjoy it because I often miss. So without further ado, here is your sneak peek of the Midwest Survival Guide. All right, here's the first story. Hockey star. Before, I wanted to be an archaeologist because I saw Jurassic Park and thought paleontologists were archaeologists. I wanted to be a hockey player. Why did I want to be a hockey player? I found my dad's old hockey helmet in the basement, and it was a sign from God. The black helmet was dented and scuffed like a gladiator who'd survived the Colosseum. It also smelled like a gladiator who didn't survive the Colosseum. But I suffered through the smell because that helmet fit me like a glove on a twig. Noticing how much I loved the helmet, my parents got me hockey gloves for my birthday. And my dad even sawed off his old hockey stick in half so it would fit me. Then during the day, I would play in the basement. But my older brothers didn't like hockey as much. So I played with my best friend, Jim, in the basement. My mom would always watch us. Now, it was just foot hockey with a tennis ball, but that didn't mean it was a leisurely game, ladies and gentlemen. You see, Jim was a dirty player and almost twice my size. He would often check me into the wall or slash me when Mom wasn't looking. You see, Jim watched a lot of hockey on TV. He liked how they fought, the enforcers. I remember the first time Jim threw off his gloves. I didn't know what to do, so I cried for my mom, but Mom didn't come to my rescue. She just said, "Honey, life is full of Jims. If I step in now, you'll never know how to fight the next one." Well, that was a tough thing for a 5-year-old to hear. But I knew what I had to do. I threw off my gloves, and I threw up my dukes. Jim threw a right hook, and I ducked. Then he threw a left, and it knocked me on the ground. Damn near knocked me out. I cried again for my mom, but she wouldn't help me up. "If I save you now, how will you ever save yourself?" she shouted. It was up to me. So with every bit of strength I had, I rose to my feet. And I says to Jim, "Is that all you got?" Well, Jim wound up and sent over another left hook. This time, though, I ducked and countered. Bang! Connected to Jim's jaw, and Jim was knocked unconscious. Mom smiled with pride. And that's when I knew how much she loved me. Because Jim was imaginary. Hunting. Midwesterners hunt many birds, critters, and squeezels, including duck, rabbit, squirrel, pheasant, grouse, goose, and of course, deer. And for each species of animal, there's a species of hunter, each with their own different quirks and attributes. Now, some people don't like hunting, and that's understandable. If you fall into that camp, please keep in mind that I'm usually a vegan hunter due to my poor aim. Now that you know I'm on your side, you can continue listening without guilt. Also, according to an article I read once, hunting deer, which are generally overpopulated, and wild pigs, which are an invasive species, is good for the ecosystem. I'd explain why, but I only read half the article online because I got distracted with this new big buck hunter app. It's pretty great. You should try it. Anyway, when it comes to deer hunting, there are different seasons for various methods of demise. There's also different clothes you have to wear. During bow season, you wear a camo coat. Gun season, you wear a blaze orange coat. During muzzleloader season, you wear a red coat. And yes, I wrote this entire paragraph for that punchline. I hope it was worth it. Now, deer hunters also like to spray themselves with dopey. If that sounds weird, that's a good thing. It means you're not weird. But deer hunters have their rationale. You see, to bucks, dopey doesn't smell nasty. It smells like perfume. You know, we have Chanel No. 5. They have Chanel No. 1. So hunters spray it on themselves and hope the wind will catch their scent and lure an unsuspecting buck. Does it work? Well, one year I put on some dopey, tossed a bottle into my car, and headed to my deer stand. I was up in that thing for 5 hours. I didn't see one buck. But then I got back in my car and realized the dopey had spilled all over my back seat. The smell could only be described as a zoo in an oven. So I wisely rolled my windows down and headed home. It was unbelievable. I didn't see a single deer during my hours of hunting. But on that drive home, I had about $5 trying to mount my gas tank. And then there's the calls. When you're buck hunting, there's a grunt, rattle, bleat, and snort wheeze calls. Most of these calls are the hunter's attempt to lure in trophy bucks looking to show their dominance. Estrus bleats, on the other hand, are made by does when they're trying to mate. Now, I never thought about calls until one year at deer camp. We were all outside on the porch, cooking on the grill, and drinking beers. Inside, my buddy Jeff turned on a Game of Thrones episode. The volume was loud enough that we could hear the TV, but not loud enough to really understand what was going on. Then a kissing scene came on. And soon enough, a lady was moaning pretty loud. I watched as five of the six guys on the porch made a beeline for the television. I stayed manning the grill, as the steaks needed to be gently seared and a moment too long would ruin them. So instead of following one primal drive, I tended another. But then I began to ponder. What if one of those bucks mounted on the wall was real? And that fake wooden wall was his camouflage? What if Jeff didn't really turn on the TV at all? What if it was the bucks doing a human call? So I abandoned my grilling duties, and I bolted into that house to rescue my friends from being viciously mauled to death by said buck seeking revenge for his other family members hanging in deer camp. As it turns out, I have a wild imagination. And we all had burnt steak that night. Okie dokes, folks. Well, there you got it. Your little sneak peek of the Midwest Survival Guide. So thank you all for listening. Again, if you're looking to get the book, you can check it out, cripescast.com. And if you order from the local bookstores that we linked up, you actually get a free Ope koozie with your purchase while those supplies last. I think they still have some. You also get a free ticket to the Midwest Survival Guide launch party. It's a virtual launch party when the book launches on November 16th. So check it out. Order it up if you can. And finally, before I go, I want to thank Duluth Trading Company for sponsoring the podcast. It's a great clothing company, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked about it a lot on here. I was actually just fly fishing this weekend. I wore some of their Alaskan hard gear stuff. I've got some of their shorts for biking. So I use it all the time. Very comfortable, very fashionable. You know, if you ask me, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more fashionable than a little loop for your hammer on your cargo shorts. Okay, that says Midwest fashion right here. You know, some fashions come and go. This isn't fast fashion, ladies and gentlemen. This was popular in the 1800s. It's popular today, okay? It's style that lasts. Just like them slacks. I don't think I've lost a pair yet. And with that, I hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe. Keep her moving. And while you keep her moving, watch out for deer.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.